Welcome to the new and improved Training Unleashed podcast. Don't worry, it's the same podcast you know and love, just with a fresh coat of paint. We're brought to you by the Learning Network, where traditional and digital learning is made possible. Now, get ready for another exciting episode with your host, Evan Hackle.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Training Unleashed, presented by your friends at the Learning Network and sponsored by C-Suite TV and C-Suite Radio. My name is Evan Hackle. I am your host. We have an amazing guest, Jordan Burton. He is with Talgo, which I'll let him explain later what that name means. But we're talking today to a person who is an expert in interviewing and assessments. And I'm kind of excited by that. But as I get to ask the questions, I'm going to start with a fun one. Jordan, what is the worst answer to a question you have ever heard in an interview?
What a great question. Thanks for having me. Excited to be on the program. The worst answer to a question, I think it would be, there's probably been outright offensive answers to certain questions where someone has sort of revealed parts of themselves that perhaps they don't realize might be not a good fit for just about any company or culture. That's happened only a handful of times. I don't like to evaluate someone's response as good or bad. There's kind of a prevailing wisdom that like there's good answers to interview questions and bad answers. We view an interview as a data gathering exercise. And I guess a bad answer would be one in which you don't get meaningful data. And that's usually on the interviewer.
Yeah, where they may be avoiding and just talking and not really answering. Well, I'm going to share my worst answer ever.
Yeah.
And this is a long time ago. I was interviewing someone as a truck driver. Perfunctorily, I asked the person, "Do you have a driver's license?" And the answer was no.
But I'll get right on it, huh?
No. I said to him, "Where's your unemployment slip you want me to sign?" because he was not there to get a job.
Yes.
So we're going to talk a lot about interviewing here. But what I really like to understand, because I think this is one of the most important things, when I'm interviewing people, I like want to hire everybody. How do I take my heart out of the equation?
Sure.
And be that, as you said before, kind of neutral observer of the interview and not root for the person, but be a
It's such an interesting question. You're not alone in that. There's a lot of people who will fall in love or fall out of love very quickly with a certain candidate that they feel a rapport or a connection with. I think that the first objective, the first intention that you need to bring to an interview is, I'm not here to decide whether I like this person. I'm not here to see whether they perform well. I'm not here to judge whether or not a certain answer was good or bad. I am here to learn. And if you come into it with total curiosity and use that to gather facts about the person, not impressions, not gut feel, not your instinct, but actually gather facts about the person, you can actually completely suspend the part of your brain that wants to judge whether or not you like this person. You can completely let that go. I'm not here to decide if I like this person. I'm here to gather as much useful and relevant information as I can in this short time with this interesting person. Let your curiosity do the rest.
I love that. And I love the word curiosity. It's one of my new favorite words because I believe
great, isn't it?
Curiosity is incredibly powerful. So as a professional interviewer, are you asking everyone the same questions, or is it going to vary based on the person? And how about other people that are interviewing the same person? How does that really work?
That's a great question. And there's different interview formats. And some interview formats that we train, that we teach are relatively standardized. I think there is this misnomer, this kind of misperception in the talent assessment, talent acquisition community, that you need to have the perfect question. A lot of our training focuses on actually asking simpler, less directive questions, and then using your skills of time management and follow-up questions to get to the most relevant information rather than trying to craft some customized perfect question. The simple answer to your question, though, about professional interviewers, myself and the handful of others who are in this assessment business, is we actually ask pretty standard questions from one executive to the next. What makes it fit to role? What makes it customized? What makes it relevant is where we choose to go deep and where we choose to move faster. So we actually get the curation of content through where we choose to go deep, as opposed to trying to, we call it a heat-seeking missile question. Yeah. When you ask, tell me about a time when you did this thing and this thing under these constraints with this sort of time frame, over managing that question can actually, for a number of reasons, lead to bad information, sort of noisy data. So yeah, we actually ask pretty standard questions in executive assessments.
So one of the issues that I have is, to me, hiring for a value match mm-hmm. is really important.
Of course.
Let's say, for instance, one of our values as a company is innovation. Mm-hmm. Okay. And if I ask somebody, how do you innovate? They're gonna answer that question, and I'm not really necessarily gonna learn.
Sure.
So what kind of questions, or how do you assess in an interview whether mm-hmm. someone is a good value match for the company or not?
Another great question. So the first step in that is being clear on what those values are. I know a lot of companies that would say they're innovative, when actually, relative to their competitors, relative to their markets, they're not particularly, but there's some other aspect of their values, their culture, their norms that is differentiated. So organizations tend to have some things up on the wall like customer first and move fast and, it's what really does define your organization. And let's say that it's true that you actually are remarkably innovative relative to your competitors. I think you highlighted a certain type of question. How would you innovate, right? Or how do you innovate? We would call that a hypothetical question. It's asking somebody to essentially perform and to give you, to paint a little picture that you're going to decide whether it sounds believable or realistic or not. The way that we would say you go after that value of innovation is by asking for examples of actual innovation in their past. Tell me about your biggest innovation that you've delivered. Tell me about it in this role, and you can actually look at their LinkedIn or their resume and see what role it is. Tell me about, the biggest innovation, the biggest breakthrough that you had. So it's mildly leading, but at least it's getting us to an actual fact, something that did or did not happen, as opposed to asking them to opine about how innovative they are, right? So we want to get away from having people have full license to fabricate a fictitious picture of themselves and instead ground our data in things that they actually did or did not do in their past.
Hmm. Interesting. So I'd like to share with you a question I like to ask people.
Okay.
Tell me if it's a good question or bad question.
All right.
Well, hopefully it's not an illegal question, but I don't think that's the case. One of my favorite questions I like to ask people is, who in a work environment have you mentored mm-hmm. and what was that result?
Sure. I think it's a great question for roles that involve leading and mentoring and coaching and guiding others, for sure. That's actually a question that we would include if we had a client who was saying, we're looking for people who have the ability to grow and develop talent internally. We would certainly put on a short list of questions asking people for those examples. So I think it's a great one. The devil's in the details. There is another misconception around interviewing is that if I come up with the great question, my work is done, that I can ask this question about examples of mentorship and, dust off my hands and let the candidate do the rest. It really is about managing the dialogue. So the first part would be ensuring that the candidate gets us to a concrete example. You may have a candidate who says, well, the way that I mentor people is this, that, or the other. And they didn't quite answer your question of tell me about someone you've mentored. So their first follow-up might be, let's have an example of someone that you did that with. We really want to ground it in a real example. So, and then there's a number of other follow-ups, which I'd be happy to go into, but
yeah, but
short answer, I love your question.
it's interesting as you describe this, because if I was being interviewed and someone asked me for an example of mentorship, and either I've never mentored someone or I'm a little nervous and I can't think of anything, I've really intimidated the person I'm interviewing. And I would say if I was to critique myself as an interviewer when I was younger, I interviewed people. I intimidated. Not because I was intending to, but because I just wasn't a skilled interviewer.
Sure.
How important is it to keep the interviewee comfortable, or is watching how they react and how intimidated they become part of what you're interviewing for?
I'm glad you brought this up. A failure mode of many interviewers is trying to throw off, to intimidate, to stress out, to shake up a candidate to see how they perform under pressure. Once again, this brings us back to viewing the interview as a performance, as something you succeed at or fail at as the candidate. That is extraordinarily noisy. So you can take somebody who is very poorly skilled, somebody who's not been a high performer in their past, but they tend to do well under pressure. They tend to just have an extroverted personality. They have the ability to spin a story. They're, you know, a bit of this sort of art of in the moment persuasion. They might deceive you into thinking that they handle pressure really well because they're doing it real time in this interview. But then you put them on the job with real pressures and something very different emerges. So we would want to remove this, the whole notion that we're going to try to unsettle someone or throw them off. Generally speaking, to your question of do you want candidates to be comfortable? Absolutely. What I try to cultivate in a candidate that I'm interviewing or that I'm, you know, coaching somebody else on interviewing, I want them to feel that there is someone heaping attention on them. There is someone who is so excited to learn about them. They're fascinated by what comes out of their mouth. These stories are so interesting and so intriguing. Not only is that not intimidating for the person who's sharing their story, it actually pulls you into kind of this this state of flow where stories really emerge and you feel comfortable sharing the truth of yourself. What a gift to be able to hear that from another person. And then you have a data set in front of you that's authentic, that enables you to make a decision that's in service to them and in service to your organization. So I want them comfortable. I want them in a flow state, sharing their story and feeling great about it.
Yeah, that makes total sense to me. Do you believe in, I'm going to use that term, but assessment tools, psychological assessment tools? And if you do, do you prefer to use them after the interview, between interviews, before you get to the interview? And I guess if you say you don't believe in them, you don't need to answer the follow-up question.
Yeah. So we certainly have encountered a lot of these. We have clients who really believe in, and they've gotten very well calibrated on some assessment tool that they use. I will say, when I've looked at hundreds of C-level executive hiring decisions, and I've looked at the data coming out of well-conducted interviews, well-conducted references, and psychometric tests or aptitude tests, I tend to find that the most richness, the most granularity, the things that really drive a great decision tend to come from the custom conversation about this human being, as opposed to are they more of an innovator or are they more of a structure, whatever framework something is put in. I guess the short answer would be, I find that there's some interesting comparative and descriptive value that some companies get, especially when they use an assessment tool over a long period of time and have a large data set. But generally speaking, I find that to be more about how would we work with this person? How do we onboard them? What kinds of situations are going to be best for them? As opposed to, are they going to be able to get X, Y, and Z done? Are they going to be able to get this job done? There's people who are going to be a Myers-Briggs INTJ or ESFP who can both get that thing done. And I would hate for a psychometric test to be overused as a go-no decision-making tool. It's more like it provides descriptive content, but I don't think it's strongly predictive of success or failure in the role, at least the ones that I've had exposure to.
You know, from my experience, I like them, but I like them because they help me think about the questions I want to ask. Because I look at them and I say, okay, now I want to interview and validate what I'm seeing. Because I concur with you, they can be off. And I also concur with you that there's not necessarily a perfect match for a perfect job based on what those results are. But if I see somebody and, you know, they have a low score in a certain area, then I'm going to ask more questions to see if that's really true or that is that a false positive.
Yeah. And there's actually some assessment providers or some of these tool providers will actually, one of the outputs of the assessment will be, here's a suggested set of interview questions. So that can be informative if it helps you peek under areas of the candidate's profile that you normally wouldn't have done. That can be valuable. I think the only other consideration that I have around testing is what that does to the candidate experience. Just want to make sure that it's not something that's super burdensome, that it's appropriate for the role in question. You know, asking someone to break out a number two pencil when they're in a hiring process, you just want to make sure you manage it and communicate it the right way.
Yeah, I would totally concur with you. And you know, it's certainly getting back to the whole point of intimidation.
Yes.
I can't remember if there was a test, it was an IQ test, a 14-minute IQ test. Very famous.
There's one that's Wonderlic is a
that's
well-known
it, that's
one.
It. Yeah. A Wonderlic test. Yeah. You want to talk about intimidating someone.
They're interesting questions. I do think they're like, if somebody comes through with you know, high marks on that test, I think you have gathered some data. There's some intellectual horsepower there. So that you actually are getting signal. I would just say that in a well-conducted interview by someone who knows where to navigate, what stories to get to, and how to unpack those stories, you're going to get richer information and be able to do a better job of pattern matching it to the new role. I can get more detail from a story about something somebody's actually done than a percentile on an IQ test.
Sure. It makes complete sense. So the show is Training Unleashed. And I know the audience is involved in hiring all the time. There are a lot of HR people listening to the show. So I knew you would be a great guest. But part of what I want to do now is take the interview and move it into the professional development of the hire. So let's just presuppose that the interview has now happened. The company has hired a person.
Yes.
How can you take the information from the interview into a development plan that can help that employee be more successful on the job?
Yeah, it's probably the step there's many mismanaged steps in the hiring process, but talk about a gigantic missed opportunity. Here you've gathered this rich data set. Why not use it to give this person a strong start? The tactics that I would recommend that around that would be, first of all, there's some document that you should have that is what the role is all about. A lot of companies use a job description. I take issue with what's in a traditional job description. But if you have something that says, here's what needs to get done, here's essentially the OKRs.
Yeah.
This is the milestones of what success looks like in this role in terms of the business results. And then here's that set of values or competencies that we hold dear as an organization. Show it to them. I wouldn't necessarily show that at the outset of the interview process. We don't want somebody just playing to that with every story, but show them that and then show them, here's what we learned about you through the interviewing and referencing process. And here is how fabulous this match is. It's a way of having that day one conversation where someone says, I see clearly how this role is going to be measured. That's comforting to me. I know what matters in this role. I know how I'm going to be measured. And you also put in front of them, here is all of these stories. We took the time to learn all of these great things that you've done and look at the great match. Now, there's going to be two or three areas where the match isn't perfect. Maybe they haven't done this thing before in their past. Maybe there's been a couple of friction points around some element of the role or the company's values. And you can, you know, put a custom training, onboarding, coaching you know, insert whatever those levers are, and you can make it something that's really tailored and say, hey, you've never managed a team this size before, or you've never led a remote team, or there's some aspect that you're going to be selling to bigger customers than you've sold to before. We're excited to support you in that plan. So absolutely, I think take what you've learned and map it to what the role is all about.
I love the way you answered the question, because you're really making it a positive, because you're highlighting, here's why we hired, here are all the great things, and here are the opportunities, and we as a company are committed to helping you succeed in those areas too. So yes. Yeah, I really like that. Jordan, I think we could talk for a lot longer, but the show is only certain length.
Sure.
I know our audience is dying to know a little bit more about you and your company and what you do and who are the companies that hire you and how you help out. So please share that information with everyone.
Well, happy to do it. So our firm Talgo, it's talgo.io, it's our website. It's the talent algorithm. It's short for talent algorithm.
Yeah.
Essentially cool, kind of cracking the code on getting exceptional talent into your organization. If you think about the hiring process, I would say it's one of the most broken business processes, certainly relative to its critical importance. You ask anyone, we've asked thousands of executives, investors, HR leaders, how important is getting exceptional talent into your organization? Pretty much everyone will say it's in the top three most important things, if not number one. And it's broken. There's steps in those processes. Each one of those steps, from defining the role to finding great talent, top of the funnel sourcing, to the whole assessment and referencing process, all the data gathering, to making the decision as an organization and as a hiring manager, to selling and onboarding, each one of those steps, I would argue, is fundamentally broken in 90%+ of organizations. Some steps more than others, some organizations more than others. What we do is we provide rethinks for each one of those steps. Certainly our sweet spot is around this assessment part of it. We go very deep on the psychology of interviewing, on how to build this flow state within a candidate where they're excited to share information and they're drawn to the opportunity because of your curiosity, what kinds of questions to ask, where to take these stories after you hear the response to the question, all the mechanics to great interviewing. But really what we offer is a tool, a process for building an incredible team, regardless of your recruiting brand. Just, we call it like getting your unfair share of top talent. That's what we're out to do.
So it sounds like you consult with companies in understanding how to construct a good interview. Mm-hmm. You teach the people in their organization on how to interview and those skills. Mm-hmm. Do you guys actually do interviewing for people?
It's funny you should ask. So we are still in the business of doing executive assessment. My co-founder and I, Matt, have another sort of separate entity where we do assessment work, largely on behalf of private equity funds. We have sort of a one key client that we do a lot of that work for. And that really is, it's something we enjoy doing. We want to keep our skills sharp, and it's a big part of kind of each of our career vision. I never want to be out of the business of interviewing, especially if I'm teaching people to interview. I don't want to be one of those that says, go do this thing that I'm not actively doing myself. So
yeah, makes sense.
We are still involved in executive assessment. But it is not we're not sort of out looking for new clients on that side. We're pretty tapped out.
So Jordan, please share your URL so people know how to find your website.
Yeah.
And then tell everyone, because I know you have a great offer, what your offer is.
Sure. So our main website is talgo.io. We have launched Talgo On Demand, which is, we're very excited about it. This is our way of accessing individual learners. So most of our work to date has been with, you know, a VC or a private equity fund who wants to raise their game across the firm, or high growth organizations, the management team of an entire company. We wanted to find a way to reach individual learners. So this would be for seed stage founders, for managers who, you know, they're in a first time hiring role and they want to get it right. They want to build a great team. Just people who want to be able to assess better. People in HR or in the talent acquisition space who want to just have sort of x-ray vision and be able to really see into what makes a given person tick. What are they great at? What are they not? Talgo On Demand is a hybrid of anytime, anywhere learning experiences. These are short clips. This is not like your traditional e-learning. These are clips of myself and my co-founder, Matt, walking through each of these concepts with examples. So we show you great interviewing, actual video clips of these interviews happening. And that's combined with what we call live learning, where you have time with Matt and I, where you can ask questions based on what you learned and actually get to practice. So you'll be paired up with another person and do a mock interview with us coaching and guiding. So it's a great way that anyone, regardless of whether your entire company is on board, can learn world-class interviewing. So we have different packages. We have Talgo On Demand. You know, there's sort of the interviewer bundle, which is the basics. Then we have the manager and the founder.
Yeah. You also have one shorter teaser that's for free.
We do. Yeah. We have a short sort of free mini course where you can just get an example of what this looks like. We run through some fun sort of edge cases in interviewing that a lot of people have encountered. Think about like challenging candidate situations. So this mini course will give you just right away, you'll have some tactics you can go use tomorrow, and it'll give you a taste of what this program is like.
You know, I will say this because I think it's really important. How you hire is so critical. And my father always taught me, you know, take time in the hiring and someone will stay. Hire quickly, someone will leave quickly. And
wonderful advice.
Yeah. And when you're interviewing people, they're interviewing you. And
indeed,
being great at interviewing, making people feel comfortable, allowing people to be heard is also going to increase the likelihood of success hiring. So I think what you're doing is great. And I'm really happy that we had you as a guest. Of course, I'm not going to let you go yet because you have to share your one piece of advice that you want to share with the audience. What would that be?
So hard to distill. I think what I would say, before your next interview, spend 5 minutes, imagine what it's like to be the candidate. Think about all of the stories that are in that person's head. And think about how that person, and get yourself to a place where you can understand that that person is excited to share those stories. And that the specific tip would be, become insatiably curious to learn more about them. Take a look at their resume. Look at where they've been and what they've done. You don't necessarily need to use the content of this to inform what questions you ask. I would actually encourage you to do it bottoms up. Just get curious. Get fascinated to learn about this unique, interesting human being. No need to form any prejudgments about them. Just get excited to hear their story. A lot of great things flow from that practice.
It's a terrific tip because the energy that you bring into the interview will totally shift and change.
And they'll share more and they'll have a better time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Jordan, I want to thank you on behalf of the Learning Network, Training Unleashed podcast, and of course, our sponsors, C-Suite TV and C-Suite Radio. I want to thank all of the listeners, because without you, we don't have a show. Everyone have a great day.
Thanks so much, Evan.
Thank you for listening to the Training Unleashed podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like, share, and rate the podcast. This helps us get to more ears. Be sure to follow us on wherever you get your podcasts as we release new episodes every Wednesday. You can also watch the VOD of the podcast every Friday on YouTube at the Training Unleashed Network. That's youtube.com/Training Unleashed Network. And we'll see you next Wednesday.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.